and we had convinced ourselves that it would be the final objective in the Bastogne campaign. But there was one more attack to make. General Taylor wanted 2nd Battalion to move further north, in the direction of Oufalies, to clear the village of Rochon. Rochon was off the highway, over to the right, east. It was in a valley. The snow-covered ground sloped gently down to it from all sides, giving an effect similar to attacking from the rim of a saucer toward its center. The 2nd Battalion attacked from the south and southwest, while 1st Battalion on the left came down from the north of the village. The men were well spread and advanced steadily. The Germans put up some resistance, mainly artillery using white phosphorus shells, but as the men of the 506th got to the outskirts of the village, most of the German defenders fled. As the Americans moved in, the Germans began bombarding the village. Sergeant Earl Hale was one of the first into Rochon. He and Liebgott ducked into a barn, where they surprised and made prisoner 6 SS officers. Hale lined them up nose to nose and told them that if he and Liebgott got killed, they were going to take the Germans with them. Hale covered them with his Tommy gun to make the point. A shell exploded outside. Hale was standing by the door. He got hit by a piece of shrapnel and went down. An SS officer pulled his knife from his boot and slashed Hale's throat. He failed to cut an artery or sever the windpipe, but did cut the esophagus. Blood gushed out. Liebgott shot the officer who did the cutting, then the others. Medic Rowe got sulfur powder on Hale's wound. A jeep evacuated him to Luxembourg, where an amazed doctor patched him up, leaving a crooked esophagus. Because of Hale's condition, the doctor gave him a medical order stating that he did not have to wear a necktie. Later, Hale was stopped by an irate General Patton, who chewed him out for not wearing his necktie. Hale triumphantly produced his slip of paper, leaving Patton, for once, speechless. The easy victory at Rochon showed how completely the 101st Airborne had won its head-to-head battles with a dozen crack German armored and infantry divisions. The Americans had gone through a much more miserable month than the Germans, who had an open and bountiful supply line. For the 101st, surrounded, there were no supplies in the first week and insufficient supplies thereafter. Those were the weeks that tried the souls of men who were inadequately fed, clothed, and armed. This was war at its harshest, horrible to experience. The 101st, hungry, cold, underarmed, fought the finest units Nazi Germany could produce at this stage of the war. Those Wehrmacht and SS troops were well-fed, warm, and fully armed, and they heavily outnumbered the 101st.